Tim Ryan, portfolio manager for Nuveen, is here. We're talking investing in municipal bonds now on The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. And today, we are looking in the direction of municipal bond investing with Tim Ryan, portfolio manager for Nuveen, where he oversees a number of muni bond strategies, including Nuveen Dynamic Municipal Opportunities, a closed-end fund, trades under ticker symbol NDMO, and a sister that's an open-end fund, Nuveen Strategic Muni Opportunities, that's NSIOX. You can learn more about the firm and its funds at Nuveen.com, but if you add Nuveen.com/CEF, you will get directly to their closed-end fund offerings. And if you want to learn more about closed-end funds, business development companies, and interval funds generally, check out AICAlliance.org. The website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Tim Ryan, thanks for joining me on The Navigator.
Thanks, Chuck. My pleasure.
Tim, we all just saw this week the Fed raise rates again. We know that there's more coming, but we've gotten to an interesting crossroads. I mean, you've got the bond market starting to look healthier. You're starting to get paid a little bit more, but you also have the prospects of rate hikes. So help us understand where the muni bond space is now, because like every other part of the bond world, it got hammered the first 6 months of the year.
Yes, boy, it has been a tough environment for fixed income investors, and specifically for municipal investors, which have been dealing with the overall rise in interest rate levels. But in addition to that, for much of the year, kind of underperforming U.S. treasuries. And so it's been very soft and quite a challenge. But to your point, I think we've really seen a lot more stability in the municipal market, particularly since about mid-May. If common comparison we do is munis to treasuries and follow that ratio, and that has headed moved significantly higher through mid-May. It's now moderated a bit, come down, and we're finding a lot more balance in our marketplace, a lot more two-way flow, both buyers and sellers, for the things you talked about. The backup in rates has caught people's attention, and some of the yields available in the market are compelling and significantly higher than what could have been achieved last December.
How are they relative to taxable yields? We now are in a situation where the yield curve is at least moderately inverted, but the yield curve for taxable is not always the same for munis. So are they moving in sync, or are they out of step right now?
They are definitely out of step. I mean, the treasury curve is inverted. You know, I looked at it today, 2-10 on treasuries were negative 11 basis points. In munis, they're positive 60. And 2-30s for treasuries, positive 12, and for munis, positive 129. So, you know, there's a lot more speculation in the treasury market. You know, you have a lot of synthetic ways to express a view that are not available for municipal investors. And in addition, I think the municipal market is really a market of buyers and sellers, and real cash buyers and cash sellers. And sometimes we move in sync, but this year has definitely been one where we are not, and our yields and yield curves really reflect actual buyers and sellers within our marketplace. I think that's creating some opportunities in our market.
Are those opportunities because, to some extent, the downturn that we've seen was the muni market being oversold? I mean, is that what's happening, or is the opportunity something else?
Well, I think what we had was a technical sell-off. It's really not fundamental. This is a rate sell-off. Muni credit has held up quite well. Ever since, you can go back to the last presidential election and before, you know, with the effects of the pandemic and the response, municipal credit has gotten a lot of support from the federal level and to help municipalities deal with the effects of the pandemic and coming out of that. In addition to that, tax revenues for many municipalities are really quite strong. So municipalities find themselves, from a fundamental standpoint, doing quite well. Balance sheets have been enhanced. And in addition to that, I think some of this support has given even credits that, you know, were maybe, if not troubled, but under more stress, a little bit more runway for which to kind of address their problems and kind of get their house in order. So we're seeing a lot more upgrades than downgrades in our space. And I think that's a good thing. And one of the things that bodes well for our sector right now, as we stabilize and I think are a little bit less affected by kind of a one-way movement to higher interest rates, and now being much more balanced and two-sided.
You know, you talk about sort of the underlying strength. I've had guests on my show who have talked about high yield and how high yield is now priced for a much greater default rate, one that we may or may not see. They think the default rate will get much worse than it is, but not necessarily what the market is pricing in. In the Muni case, are we not seeing the investment community say that they expect a lot more of municipal problems? Because we went through a period where we had some really tough times in the Muni space. We thought there were going to be worse times. We thought a couple of states might default and a couple of big cities and what have you. None of that wound up happening, and everything's been pretty cool. Do we have any worry that those tough times are coming back?
It's a really good point, and I think one worth discussing, because I think fundamentally we are a bit different. We have some of our big name credits, you know, like the Puerto Rico complex of credits. A lot of those have been restructured, and so some of the big problem areas have been resolved and have come out, and some of those credits now are much stronger than they were pre-bankruptcy. They were put in bankruptcy and come out of bankruptcy, and now are trading and much healthier than they were. So that's a good thing. That's kind of in the background. Again, I point to the things that we've had. There's been financial support, which has given many of these issuers a little bit more of a cushion. But the bigger and broader thing is it affects the, you know, with taxable high yield, I think the things we have to be looking for now going forward is not so much default per se, because I think we have protection there. But anytime you see stress in other markets, and if we tilt from the inflation story to the recession story, and if that becomes a bigger issue going forward, while I may not be as concerned about some of the muni credits from a default standpoint, it's entirely possible that taxable and high yield taxable credit could become relatively more attractive. You know, maybe it sells off more, there becomes more attractive to an investor that can invest in both the muni market and the taxable market. And that might be someone like an insurance company or a bank that can go in either market. And that could put some pressure on spreads and where our bonds are trading. It may not affect defaults and put our credits and underlying credits into default, but it could affect how those are trading. And that's going to be an important issue for us, I think, going forward as we start to get inflation under control and focus more on underlying credit and the economy going forward.
And lastly, I mentioned, you know, not only do you run the Nuveen Dynamic Muni Opportunities Closed-End Fund, NDMO, but also Nuveen Strategic Muni Ops, which is NSIOX. Obviously, in a closed-end fund, you're able to do some things with more leverage and what have you. But of those two strategies, because they're sister funds, they're obviously managed in a very similar way. But because of the tools you get in the closed-end fund, is that better, easier to control, harder to control in times like this? I mean, leverage is a good thing when the market's working for you, but the market right now is so crazy. Help us understand the difference for the two as you're running them both.
Yeah, it can kind of cut both ways, Chuck, and that has happened. So a couple of things. First of all, the toolbox is roughly the same in both funds, and we can do similar things. And we'll trade them very consistently. Oftentimes, if we're selling a bond in one or buying a bond in one, we'll be doing the same for both. Where it diverges a bit is there is a lot more leverage employed in the closed-end fund. So it magnifies the returns, whether it's on the downside or the upside. And that has happened this year. I mean, the biggest driver this year has been rates. That has put downward pressure on returns. And so those are more magnified in the closed-end fund. The nicer thing about the closed-end fund in this last downturn is that it is just that it's closed. So oftentimes, in the early stages of the sell-off, and I'd say much through the first half of the year, we were seeing significant redemption activity across the open-end fund complex, and strategic ops was no exception. And so we have to manage the outflow more. So you can be doing trades that can be shortening your portfolio, But unfortunately, a lot of the money goes out the door. And so you're not getting the full effect of shortening while you're raising money to meet redemption. So that's kind of a negative to the open-end fund. But the flip side of that is that the closed-end fund employed a lot more leverage. And so the magnitude of the move was more pronounced in dynamic muni ops. So some things working for one and against the other or vice versa during that environment. But we do manage them consistently, usually, but I said the returns, whatever the returns are, will be more magnified in the closed-end version.
Tim, really interesting. Thanks so much for joining me to talk about it.
Been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that's me. And you can check out my hour-long weekday show on your favorite podcast app or by going to moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Tim Ryan, portfolio manager for Nuveen, who oversees a number of muni bond strategies, including NDMO, the Nuveen Dynamic Municipal Opportunities Fund. You can learn more at nuveen.com/CEF. The Navigator podcast is new every Friday. Ensure you don't miss anything by following along on your favorite podcast app. And until we do this again next week, happy investing, everybody.